Our friends, may the Lord help you in hearing and one in speaking. I would direct your prayerful attention to Job 23, verse 14. Job 23, the 14th verse. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. It's a well-known text in a well-known part of God's word. But there is so much in it, friends, and may the Lord help this afternoon as we seek to open it up under his divine instruction. And we are well acquainted with Job's pathway, the tremendous trials that he had, Satan that was let loose so far and no further than God would allow. And he could not touch his soul. And he can't touch your soul. He'd try, but he can't. But I must say this, friends. I'm not a great fan necessarily of Billy Graham at all in his very much lively preaching. But I did see a clip in which he said this, and I totally agree with him on this point. He tried to sell the gospel, and you know, he was a man that in his rallies he would get people to come to the Lord. That's their choice, and we know that man in and of himself cannot do that. But the point he was making in this particular clip was this: you cannot be a true believer of the Lord unless you know the taunts of the enemy. Unless you know the enemy trying you, troubling you, speaking to you at times. That voice that says, that word that you had a hope in, that word all those years ago, that promise, the Lord didn't really give that to you. Or you thought that up at the time. It didn't really have the depth of effect upon you that it should have. All these things. And so many other insinuations that he puts upon you, friend. And he certainly does those in the ministry, I can tell you. Such as, this is the wrong word for this afternoon, friends. I cannot tell you how tried I have felt regarding this word. Because we've preached from it already this week. And again, you're choosing the easy path to preach again from a word you've preached from already. What an enemy we have. So, to begin, Job had an enemy, and the Lord allowed him to go so far and no further. Do you know what it is to feel troubled and tempted and tried? Those thoughts come within you about those promises, about those words, about those things, about those circumstances. We want to come to a moment, to the appointments and the performing. But you see this. We're tried and troubled about these things. What a favour to realise that Satan knows who the Lord's people are, and he is permitted and he is allowed of God to go so far in his temptations, in his troubling of them. But he's on a chain, my friends. He's on a chain and can go no further than the Lord allows. So it was with Job. Although the poor man, can you imagine it, head to toe with boils? He couldn't have moved one inch, any part of his body, from what it would have been painful. And he's had all those losses in the family. And he's got all that that's against him. And he's got three men that come to him. And we could talk much of it, but we'll leave that for now. That they came, and by this time, two of them have given three. Had three conversations with him, or given three speeches to him, and you see, and there's just one more. I think two of them have done two speeches by now, and one of them he does a third afterwards. But you see, you'll find this in it all. They were saying, it's down to your sins, Job. And of course, yes, he was being punished for his sins. But they thought he'd done such terrible things. They weren't right before God in their instruction. And there's this man. Now, in this chapter, it's like a soliloquy between him. He's talking alone, quietly, but to his God. He answers God, the first verse, and says, today my complaint's bitter, my stroke's heavier than my groaning. But he says this, friends, in verse 3, this is the desire of a true believer. Tried, tempted, troubled, in pain, sorrow, difficulty, trial, all of it. But oh, that I might know where I might find him. What a desire. Is that how you came up this afternoon in that verse? Oh, that I might find him. I might find him even in Stopfold Chapel this afternoon. Well, it's a great thing. I'd order my cause. I'd fill my mouth with arguments, etc. And so in this chapter, you will find there were 19 eyes. The first person, singular, talking of himself. I. Now, friends, we won't be selfish Christians. We will think and pray for others. But in the end, it's each of us will have to stand before a holy God. Each of us alone. And so Job was very considering his own pathway. Now, we do read in Job 42 that when he prayed for his friend, Then the Lord delivered him. But there was a way to go yet. It wasn't yet the Lord's appointed time to deliver him. But at this point, all these eyes pondering his pathway, pondering the pathway of his feet, pondering his pathway spiritually and providentially. Friends, we do. Rightly taught of the Lord, we should be consistent ponderers. We should be like dear Mary, who kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Oh, what a prayer that is. Lord, make me more of a ponderer over these things and after God. But let us come to the word, he performeth. That's what's vital, friends. Everything in your life, I don't know what you're in this afternoon, in providence, in grace. He performeth. He's the performing God. Now the thing is, nature wants to be the performer, the one who does things. What is a performer? What does it mean, he performeth? What does the word performeth mean? Now the word performeth is an old-fashioned word, really. It's an archaic form of the verb to perform. To do something, to fulfill a task. Now you and I want to fulfill tasks in and of ourselves. And you know, we are, I believe, one of the early teachings of the Lord in a soul is that those daily tasks that we have, yes, it may be the simple, repetitive things, and it can be those things in the workplace. It can be, we've got those we know that are doing their exams. But that you're performing, you're undertaking a task in writing those answers to the questions in the exam. But you know, he performeth. And young friends, you remember this as you go into that exam room and have those tests or have those appointments before you in whatever it is, he performeth. That's where we need to lay up prayer for all our aspects in our life. You know, that teaching then, in the beginning, often the teaching is that our circumstantial matters, however small, are in the Lord's hand. We need him. And he will have us to bring those small things unto him as well as our never-dying soul. But he performeth. He will undertake the task. He will perform the work of salvation. He will perform the work in those daily things in our life, those concerns in the family, those concerns in the soul that we have that go along with it, and those concerns in the church, those concerns in all aspects of our life. And friends, we need to be taught this lesson over and over again, because we want to manage. We want to control. We want to do it. It's in the flesh to do that. Don't forget those two words. He performeth. He performeth. A performing God. You will prove that his performance is far better than anything you could do. The way of grace. Yes, we mentioned that little clip of Billy Graham. But we can't go to the Lord. We need him to draw us by his sweet, resistless grace. It's the performance of God. And if you've not known that grace drawing you to him in prayer, our friends, seek for it. Pray that you might know something of the cords of the man Christ Jesus drawing you. Drawing you, pulling you towards him in prayer. Those cords of love. He performeth. He performeth. Now the little word for at the beginning, as you will know, for is often a preposition or a conjunction, which means it goes before a statement, but also follows on from a statement before. And of course, that is the verse before. He's in one mind. One mind. God's mind. God's ways are not our ways. And friends, you young friends, you will prove it in life. If you are the Lord's people, that his thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are his ways your ways. And friends, sometimes they're contrary to what we want. And they certainly are with those appointments, because sometimes we have our disappointments. But let's think of the appointments here then. He performeth the thing that he's appointed, the thing, the matter, the concern, the soul burden, the lifetime concern, the concern this afternoon that you've got, the thing. In italics, because it's been added to make the grammatical sense. In the verse that we've got, the thing. He performeth the thing. What is the thing that he's... Has he performed something in the past for you, friends? I hope he has. We've got those seasoned hearers here. You're seasoned hearers. But friends, to look back and to say, yes, he performed this. He performed that. I couldn't do it. But it's God's performance. And then there are those that are looking for a performance in the future. And it may be this afternoon, friends, that you're encouraged to believe this. There shall be a performance of those things that will be revealed of the Lord. You know, that's coming to mind, that word in Luke. You know, those two godly women, Elizabeth and Mary, spoke to one another. Did they not? Elizabeth spoke to Mary and said, there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Oh, friend, you carry an exercise, carry a burden for something. Perhaps even this day you thought it'll never come to pass. There shall be a performance. This is the future now that we're looking at, but it still reflects in this text. He performeth, there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Well, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Personal in the pathway then of Job. But what is an appointed? What does it mean by appointed? And that is the word appointed. Well, we think immediately, of course, of appointment. Something we might have in a diary date. And it is, it's an arrangement, and something that's appointed is something that's arranged beforehand. Something that's arranged. And we arrange many things in our life, and it's right that we do so. And we have many appointments in the diary. Friends, whether you have an electronic one or whether you have a manual one that you write things in, but you look at your diary and there are those dates and those appointments, and you're going to work to them, subject to the holy will of God. And that's the thing. Those appointments will only be kept as the Lord allowed you to keep them. But think of this in the context of the text. He performeth the thing that he's appointed. His appointment. And when we have those disappointments, and sometimes, you know, and early in the way, we need to learn this. I want to speak rightly, friends, but I had a friendship when I was a young man, and I thought that this was the Lord's sovereign will for me, and that I would marry this particular person that I was friendly with. I thought there would be a performance of that, because in one particular way I saw the Lord going before me in it. And so it was for a season, until the Lord put an end to it, and he did it in such a way that brought me before him as a young man to have to lean totally upon the Lord and to pray rightly and to pray in a right exercise to be given the wife that the Lord would give me. But there was such teaching, and it was a bitter path at the time to suddenly find oneself given up of someone that we'd been friendly with. It wasn't an easy pathway. And you know, it really troubled me spiritually, because I thought I was a praying soul, and I thought, but it was turned upside down. But young friends, what teaching there was for me in it, because as it led me to the Lord, he showed me the right way. He showed me his appointment rather than my appointment. Now, for me, it was a disappointment at the time, but the poet says this, and she wrote, you look it up afterwards, his appointment, change one letter, yes, disappointment, his appointment, change one letter, and I'll see, it goes on to say, that the Lord had a better pathway for me, a better path, a better way, and so you will prove it. But he performeth the thing, his performance, and his ways are much, they're past finding out, but they're better than our ways. They are in grace as well, friends. You know, when we're so seeking that the Lord would come again and give us another word and another blessing, friends, we can go a long time, can't we, without feeling the love of God in our hearts. But you know, he will come again. There shall be a performance in his time and way. What does he say again? The vision. Here's an appointment. The vision is yet for an appointed time. Though it tarry, wait for it. Why? For it will surely come. It will not tarry. It feels a long wait to you, but it will surely come. It will not tarry. The vision, the appointed time. And friends, for those in the family that you pray for, you desire, may you come to that hymn, the appointed time rolls on apace. Yes. Not to propose, but to call by grace, that they may be called by grace. And perhaps you can look back to that appointed time when there was a change in your heart. And perhaps there are those that are troubled as I say it, because they say, well, it's fudgy with me. I can't go back to a very clear spot where the Lord spoke to me and things were changed. For me, it was a creeping effect over a period of time. Friends, even that creeping effect, which you cannot see as one particular appointment, it's been a performance of God's work in the gradual way. Friends, we're not all going to be converted like Saul on the road to Damascus. But he will teach you, and he will teach us each to lean more and more upon him. You know, in the early days, William Huntingdon, when he started to attend a chapel in Surbiton. He lived in Yule in Surrey, and he went there, and they realised he was an exercised man, and they asked him to pray. Now, we're talking about the 1780s. There was a lot of poverty. He lived it. He had a couple of young children and was living in poverty. He needed the Lord to provide for him, and day by day he would have to beg for the small provision. Small it may seem compared to his soul, but the small provision of food on the table. And you know, there was one day there was a carp that would come to the top of the river. He was working nearby with his boss, and his boss said to him, "You might as well take that, William. Take that home and feed your family. It only just died." And so he did. And another day he came across some eels. Friends, they wouldn't be necessarily the top of our food list, but when you're in need, when you're in need of food, and that man was. And so he would go on. Well, he went to the prayer meeting and they chastised him. And they said to him, "Why are you praying for us each, for our daily things? Why are you praying for these ordinary personal things in life? You should be praying for your soul." And he said, "I am. I pray for both, but the Lord has shown me I cannot live my life without the things that the Lord is performing and doing for me day by day. I have to prove the small things. And that's how I live in my soul, by seeing the Lord's work in that daily pathway." May you be encouraged in this, friend. Sometimes we feel our religion is such, all it is a providential religion. But it's vital to be living that daily experience before the Lord. You're living this text. "He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. My times are in thy hand. O Lord, I wish them there." Friends, family, soul, entirely in thy care. That's how you'll have to live, because he's a God that appoints the right thing for you and the right thing for me. So be encouraged if they say to you, "Well, yours is just..." And you know, say, this is one of his accusations. Where's the deep spiritual work in your soul? Where's the living close to God? Well, the living close to God is depending on him. And you may depend on him hour by hour sometimes. It may be family things. It may be church burdens, whatever it is. But you're dependent on him. That's a good place to be, because he's appointing the way for you to walk in. And he's performing, and just him alone. But friends, an appointment. So an appointment can be something in the diary when we meet somebody, or we have a medical appointment, or we have those exams we talked of, or we have something in business, or we have something in our private life. They're appointments. But we've all got an appointment, and we don't know when the day of that appointment is. "It is appointed unto all men once to die, and after death, the judgment." What an appointment! It's in God's diary, friends. And we have to meet him. And the whole world has that appointment. And many of them are careless of it. "He performeth the thing that is appointed for me," the appointment in his time. Oh, friends, may it ever be our prayer. May we lay up prayers from the youngest to the eldest of us. Lay up prayers daily that the Lord would be with us in that appointment. That the Lord would carry us across the Jordan, that last enemy that we'll have. And you know, sometimes Satan will have a fling then. Sometimes he's kept at bay. That's down to the Lord's permissive will. But I know this, friends. We have that appointment. Prepare me. I once said, and I'm not sure if it's true, I wonder if that's the most quoted hymn in our circles. Friends, may it ever be. Prepare me, gracious God, to stand before thy face. An appointment. Maybe you've got an appointment this week, though, friends. There's something before you. An appointment. It's a man-made appointment. But you fear it and you tremble over it and you're troubled about it. He performeth. Friends, may you see strength given. That mountain that is before you to be made a plain. It's before you. But let me say this. Who art thou? ? Who art thou, O great mountain? ? And then it says that before the Zerubbabel, the heavenly Zerubbabel, the Lord Jesus, God in heaven, thou shalt become a plane. That appointment, managed by God. Friends, you know if you're in that pathway. I don't know what you're walking in. What a word it is. I felt so troubled about this word, as I said earlier. And you know, the Lord, I believe, answered this poor man's prayer. I just took down a book from my shelf, and it was a book of J. Raven's sermons. I don't know why I took that particular book. I've got lots, of, like many of you have. And I opened it up, and it opened up on a brief account of his life. And it was talking of an affliction he had in 1947, 6 years before he died, where he was preaching. He was a pastor at Red Hill and Smallfield, and he preached at Smallfield in the afternoons, I believe I'm right in saying. And he went there and he fell over and slipped up on some ice. It was, I think 47 was a very bad winter, that people said. And you know, he ripped some muscle off his knee, and for 3 months he could not preach to his people. In fact, they said he would lose his leg. What did it do? It drove him in prayer and exercise before the Lord. He didn't lose his leg. He was fully healed in 3 months. But he had to say this. There was a word that lived with him during that 3 months. And it was a word of our text. He performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Many such things are with him. Indeed, every aspect of our life is with him. And that dear man, you know, when I opened that book and read the very words of the text that were laid upon me, it was as if, it's as if the Lord said to me, I know the words that are in every one of the book that's on your bookshelf. And I will use my methods to confirm to you what text you are to take. Friends, may we prove it. If it's for one soul this afternoon, it will be the Lord's word. Nothing to do with me, but he performeth. Oh, friends, we want to perform. We want to get our mucky hands on the situation that we've got that troubles us this afternoon. We want to sort things out for ourselves. My friends, leave it in the Lord's hand. Watch and see what he will do. Because he is able to do far more exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. But there is another appointment. All those other appointments that the Lord's people prove. And in Micah speaks of this. He says, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it? A rod. This speaks of the rod of chastisement. The rod of God's love in chastising his children. And that was very firmly laid upon Job. And it will be very firmly laid upon each of the dear Lord's people. We don't like this rod. This rod is one we reject in nature. This rod is one that we run away from. It's good for me that I have been afflicted, because before I was afflicted, I went astray. It's good to see the contrary pathway sometimes. It's good to see that the Lord is hedging up our way with difficulties and trials. Why? Because they're bringing us to a closer walk with him. Why? Because we're realizing that we need to be punished for our sins, friends. And there will be that punishment here below. We will have to see, wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins. You know, friends, my first pastor was a Mr. Bradford, a man in his 80s when he died, late 80s, or no, early 90s actually, but I remember him in his sort of mid to late 80s. And he came to chapel one Sunday with a terribly bruised face because he'd fallen over and fallen on his face. And you know, that dear man stood up and quoted that word, wherefore doth a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. And as a young a teenager, you know, I sat and listened to him and I thought, what grace. Lord, give me that grace that that I can acknowledge that that's come upon me as of the Lord, and I deserved it, and yet to have love to the Lord. Well, friends, he's chastening appointments. You will know them, and yet you will know the blessed appointments, the time when he comes and he blesses your soul and he favours you with that feeling of his love, and you will know a performing God in that way. But I believe this lovely word perform, I want to encourage you, because you see, he says this, being confident, Paul does, as he writes to the church in Philippi, chapter 1, verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If he's begun the work, then he's performing right through your life the spiritual work within you, and that you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a continual work, and he's working in you. Friends, it's a year ago, many of you came a year, some of you didn't, of course, but those that came a year ago, have you grown in grace since this occasion last year? Have you grown in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you proved in this past year that he has performed many things that were appointed for you, and you've seen his hand in them, and you've seen his delivering hand, you've seen his mercies through that year? I believe here as a church and people you have. And although this is in the singular, and it is Job speaking of his own personal life, of course it refers collectively to the friends here. He has performed the thing that is appointed for them. Many such things has been with him. And it is our prayer and it is our exercise that the Lord will perform many things amongst them here and amongst us in our churches. And we will see a performing God, a one who alone is able to overcome all those enemies that we have. Ah, friends. Yes, how great it is, this mighty God. He performeth the thing. I love that. The word thing, you see, it doesn't give any specific. So it covers everything we're in this afternoon. It covers whatever we have in soul, in providence, and in family. And there's a beauty in that, that as it were, there's no particular, everything in his hands. We will prove it. You know, they have that hymn, and I've listened to it before, and we don't have it in our churches, of course, but he's got the whole world in his hands. And he has. And friends, we need reminding of it time and time again. The appointment. But Job writes in chapter 7, verse 1, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? There is. Are not his days like the days of a hireling? Yes, the days that only the Lord counts, for he knows all our days and our timings. But, oh friends, how wonderful are God's timings. We read in Ecclesiastes of the times, the different times. That we have. David says, my times are in thy hand, but that word we read in Ecclesiastes, reflecting the different times of different aspects in our life. And I believe we will prove that to everything, you see, there's that word again, thing. You know the thing that you're walking in this afternoon, friends. To everything, there is a season and a time. To every purpose under the heaven. God's clocks. Years ago, years and years ago, it must be going back 30 years, a Lord's servant came to Staplehurst in the afternoon and preached. And we'd got a real trouble at the time and carried a real burden. And it seemed so impossible. And I've never forgotten his statement. He just stopped and said, friends, you're looking at a natural clock. Let me tell you this. God's clocks are never slow. And friend, we had to prove it. Some of those things stand out, don't they? In our souls, of how the Lord spoke. Well, there was a time to get, yes, and a time there is to lose. But all those times that we've read it, of the times. But there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And that is the gift of God. Well, may we prove these appointments. You see, you can read early in Scripture, only Genesis 18, where we have that lovely word, friends. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And then the Lord says this to Abraham, at the time appointed, wait, but his appointed hour, and thy suit, thy matter, thy concern, that means thou shalt obtain. Wait, but his appointed hour, God's perfect time of deliverance for you, dear soul. So he says it. At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And then in Exodus 9, this so struck me that where the plague of boils and blains was to be upon the Egyptians. And the Lord said to Moses, these words were there. The Lord appointed a set time. The Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. Yes, that was God's judgments upon the Egyptians. But the Lord's appointed time. And then, friends, and I won't keep you, but then I just thought, you know, there's such a lovely word in Esther, the book of Esther. She was raised up for such a time as this, a time when the Jews were to be exterminated if the wicked Haman had his way. But that night could not the king sleep. That night, your sleep and my sleep is controlled of God. Some of us suffer, struggle to sleep. But that night could not the king sleep. And instead of instructing, as they often would in the courts of the kings in those days, to play the music and the harp, he asked for the book of the Chronicles, which was a book of the history. And in the book of the history, it happened to be recorded that Mordecai, in his actions, had saved the king from a previous plan against him. And so it was read that night, the very night before there was to be desired killing of Mordecai. Oh, friends, it's in God's control, your matters. Nothing's changed since the days of Esther. Oh, may you prove for such a time as this that God's appointed time, that he will support you, he will be with you, and he will go before you. Friends, we scratched around, but may you prove him to be a performing God. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Amen.